You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good evening, everyone. Now, we are down to the second installment of our Foretold series. The goal of this series is basically for us to know more or grow in our understanding of who Jesus is. And it's very important because how we know and understand Jesus will greatly affect how we live our lives. How we perceive Him, what our view of Jesus is, it will greatly affect the way we live our lives. In our previous series, sa Crosscheck, we talked about what's expected of us as believers. And we talked about self-denial, you know, embracing the hard truth, serving others and serving God, persevering for Jesus' sake. If we talked about all the things that's expected of us, in this series, we're going to talk about the reason why Jesus is worth all that. Why is Jesus worth it when we suffer for His sake? Why is it okay when we say, Lord, I'm going to deny myself and follow You. I'm going to subscribe to Your Lordship. I'm going to follow You, Lord God. Why is it worth all that to say that? Why is Jesus worth giving our lives to Him and following Him, being our Lord and Savior? We're going to talk about that in this series. The first week, we talked about Jesus as the wise king. That is this prophesied, promised king that came to the world to save His people. And we've talked about it in the book of Isaiah. Now, in the second week, we're going to talk about Jesus as the humble servant. That Jesus is not just this wise king, He's also a humble servant. Now, what that means, what does it look like? Muna nang i-unpack na ito tonight. So if you have your Bibles with you, can you turn them to Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 to 4. I'm going to be basing mainly on these verses. Isaiah 42 says there, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established the justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law." Just a recap of the book of Isaiah. Over the next few weeks for this series, we're going to be looking into the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is a book of prophecy written by Isaiah in a time wherein the kingdom of Israel had been split into for several years. The northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And see, Isaiah was doing ministry primarily in the southern kingdom of Judah. And in the last week, we talked about part of his prophecy, which was judgment upon the nation of Judah and Israel, that God was going to use this foreign nation to attack them, to bring judgment on them, because they were greatly sinning against God. God's people, among Israelites, had drifted so far away from how God wanted them to live their lives. They were sinning against God, committing idolatry and all that. Basically, they were not living in the way God wanted them to live. They were disobeying God blatantly. And so God pronounced this righteous judgment and holy wrath upon them through this foreign nation, Assyria, coming to them and attacking them. Last week, we talked about ang line of kings sa Israel would be temporarily cut down. And they would enter a period of exile, that their city or their nation would be destroyed. They would be captured, a lot of them, and brought into exile into another nation, into a foreign nation naman. But judgment and destruction that they would experience would not be total and complete. Even though they would experience destruction, it would not be total destruction. That yes, there's a prophecy of judgment, but in Isaiah chapters 40 onwards, the exile was already over, and now they're returning home. In other words, in the later parts of the book of Isaiah, ang prophecy niya are messages about hope. We're talking about hope here tonight. That even though these Israelites would undergo extreme hardships, problems with being attacked, I mean, can you imagine your nation attacked? Ikaw, ma-captured ka, you're brought into exile to another nation, all that. That those are difficult times, but amidst all of that, their story does not end. There would be hope. Isaiah prophesied, there's gonna be this great hope. And so for all of us here today, you feel like makarelate ko anang encountering harsh problems, difficulties. I may not go literally be in exile from my home right now, but just like the Israelites nga nakalisod, ako po na, nakalisod ko. Or guess what, church? Just like the Israelites, there is a promise of hope for us as well. And we're going to look into what that hope looks like. In verse 1 of Isaiah 42, God says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations." Now, if you read through the book of Isaiah several times, the word servant means different things. In one case, it talks about the nation of Israel as a whole, my servant Israel. talks about Isaiah as well. But in this case, it talks about a servant which has the Spirit of God on him. God says, this servant, I will put my Spirit on him. Now, last week, we got to learn who kinsang person nga the Spirit of the Lord had rested on him. In Matthew 3:16, we got this confirmation. It says here, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. In other words, this servant, which has the Spirit of God on him, we're talking about Jesus here. We're talking about the promised Messiah. Now, yes, the promised Messiah is called this promised wise and just king. We talked about last week, but not just that. Different way to look at it, a different facet of Jesus is that he's also this humble servant. Now, isn't it amazing that Jesus, the promised king, is also called a humble servant? So, in other words, what we have here is that God's servant is mighty yet humble. When you say mighty yet humble, he's mighty because the Holy Spirit is on him. The Bible says the fullness of God is in Jesus. Jesus is 100% God. He's mighty. If you read through the New Testament, you've read through what are his miracles. He was able to feed thousands of people with only a few loaves of bread and a few fish. He healed different illnesses. He was able to raise the dead, cast out the demons. The demons were afraid of him. Jesus was mighty. He was powerful. He was 100% God and 100% man, but he was still 100% God. And yet, amidst all of that, he's also humble. That he is called the servant. If you think about a king, a promised king, what do you think nato? Someone in royalty, someone in a throne with gold and jewelry and all that, and servants and warriors and knights surrounding them, waiting for their command and order. Munang king, di ba? Like people serve the king. And yet, different facet of Jesus is that he's also a humble servant. Parang butler, ready to serve the person. Jesus is mighty, yet humble. He's able to do these immensely amazing things, and yet he's willing to serve. Even though he should have been served, Matthew 20, verse 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus had all the authority, the reasons, the status to be served. He is God. The scriptures talked about him. He could have said, guys, serve mo na ako. Load mo na ako. What you're reading, the scriptures, it talks about me. I'm the promise. Kneel before me. He could have entered every town, every place and say, guys, bow down before me. He could have asked that, but he didn't. It says here, he chose to serve. And how did he serve? To give his life as a ransom for many. Now for all of us here today who are believers, followers of Christ, we are recipients of the greatest act of service. Something we can never outserve God. And that is what he did for us on the cross. On the cross, he gave his life for us. It says here, as a ransom for many. A ransom because of our sins. We were on this path to hell, separated from God for all eternity. But Jesus redeemed us, saved us, gave up his life as a ransom that we may have a new life, that our sins may be forgiven. He served us by dying on the cross for our sins. Even though we didn't deserve it, we didn't earn it, he did it nonetheless. How humble for Jesus, this promised king whom we should serve, whom we should honor and glorify. And yet, when he came down to this world, he served us before we ever served him. Something that we can never repay him or outdo. Talk about his humility still. It says here in verse 2, he will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus never yelled. I'm not saying that was super mahinhin si Jesus. What this means is that Jesus, when he did his ministry, when he would heal the sick, cast out demons, and claim that he is the Son of God, he did it not by bragging, not by being arrogant, not by being loud in a way that was antagonizing, annoying to people, or he didn't boast in himself. This is parang peacock. You've seen peacock, they would show off their feathers, that their female peacocks would look at them and see how amazing they look. So Jesus was not a show off. When he did his ministry, sometimes he would retreat, would distance himself, go to certain places to be alone, to pray to God, to meditate on. He wasn't bragging about his identity as the Son of God. He wasn't arrogant about it. When he entered Jerusalem, he could have entered in a mighty stallion, in chariots, in a caravan, in a parade. But he entered by riding on a donkey. When Jesus came into this world, he could have been born in a palace with armies around him. But he was born in a manger. to a poor family in a small town in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, where people never for once thought something amazing is going to come from Nazareth. No, they didn't think so. But Jesus chose to be born and grew up that way. Going back to verse 1, it also says here, he will bring justice to the nations. Jesus, the humble servant, was the Spirit of God on him. It says here, one thing he will do is that he will bring justice to the nations. When you say justice, it basically means to set things right. When you make things in order, when you organize them, that's what it means to bring justice, to set something in order. When you see something out of place, wrong spelling, medyo maawasi mo. Now, I'm just sharing all those things because in the small stuff, the menial stuff, maka-trigger, maka-OC na to, we want to set things right. It's innate in us. Nadita galahan nga gubot lang. We want to make sure fake. And that's because we got this from God. God Himself is a God of order. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace in all the congregations of the Lord's people." God is a God of order. Now, if kita palang gani, in the small stuff, we want to set things right, how much more God, when He wants to set things right in our world, in our nation, in our lives? Perhaps for some of us here today, there is disorder in our lives, whether that be in our family, in our relationships, in our marriage, in our work, in our studies, in our health. There may be certain things in your life that's in disorder, in chaos, and you're like, "Lord, help me set this right. Help me make these things be of order." And guess what? There is hope in Christ. Because He will bring justice to the nations, to the world. He will set things in order. God is a God of order, not of chaos. Moving forward, it says here in verse 3 of Isaiah 42, "A bruised reed He will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. In faithfulness, He will bring forth justice." What an amazing way to describe how this servant would deal with us. They're like plants that grow near rivers, near lakes, and all that. And the bruised reed looks like plant na parang kaputlo na. Ang gamayng pitik na lang, mabungkak na siya, maputol na siya. And this reed right here is a metaphor for a wounded individual or the nation. I mean, take note, the people, the Israelites, they just came from exile. They were used, abused, and they were bruised. These people suffered from their nation being attacked, captured, and being brought to a different nation, probably a slave, servants, and all that. They had a rough time. This was years long. And yet, because of their pain and anguish, amidst all of that they feel broken, they feel bruised. The Bible says that this servant, this promised humble servant, Jesus, would not break a bruised reed. In other words, if you are a bruised reed, Jesus will not stab you. He will deal you with gentleness. He will deal you with kindness. Not just a bruised reed, but the Bible also says a smoldering wick. When we talk about wick, imagine a candle na kanang bago lang ihoy pa nimo. Gamay na lang nag-burn anang candle, then puro smoke na. The Bible says Jesus will not snuff it out. He will not put it out. When we talk about God's servant, He is strong yet gentle. How amazing is that Jesus, with all the power and might at His disposal as God, with everything that He has, He could easily just break us. When you think about people who are strong, big, but they're not the most gentle-looking people. But Jesus, though He is strong, He is gentle. When we say gentle, gentleness is the application of strength to a tender situation. It's not the absence of strength, but rather, it's applying strength in the tender situation. But even though Jesus is strong, He knows how to deal with us when we are broken, when we are tired, when we are weary. And perhaps for some of you here today, your passion for God, your love for God is like that smoldering wick. Gamay na lang kayo. Gamay ang hangin na lang. Wala na ang faith ni mo kang God. Wala na ang love ni mo kang God. Gamay ang pitik na lang. You don't want to walk with God anymore. Give up na ka. You're like that bruised reed, the smoldering wick. But God will not snap at us or destroy us. He's powerful. He's strong. He's mighty. He's able to do amazing things. And yet, when He deals with us, when we are broken and sad and down on our knees, He will not break us. He will not snuff us out. When you feel broken and bruised or burnt out in your spiritual life, God won't step on you or toss you aside as useless. He won't. He will handle you with care. I'm not saying that He won't convict us of our sin. He will do so. The Bible says He will rod us when He has to. What I'm sharing here is that we have a Savior, a promised King, a humble servant who is gentle in dealing with us as well. Not a tyrant, not a dictator, not an oppressor, but someone who's after the best for us. Matthew 11, verse 20 to 29 says, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden. All who are weary, tired, carrying big burdens, and I will give you rest." Some of us here today need to hear that. Some of us are looking for rest, not just physical rest, but rest wherein we get peace in your mind, in your hearts, na parang, "Lord, you're gonna masigun na eh. But Lord, I want rest in you." The Bible says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle," says Jesus, "and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Some of us here feel like we're in the midst of a desert, thirsty, longing for rest, for being to be refreshed, to be renewed. But Lord, kapoy na, I'm dying. And in Jesus, that rest can be found because He is gentle. Think of all the things He could break because He's mighty, He's strong, and you'll begin to see the wonders of what He won't break. He won't break us. Bruce Reed, He won't break. A smoldering wick, He won't snuff out or quench. That's how gentle Jesus is with us. Couple of things. In verse 4, it says here, "He will not falter or be discouraged till He establishes justice on earth." There's justice again. When you say falter and discouraged, it comes from these words, Hebrew words, kaha and ratsats. Falter means to be weak, to grow dull, dim, and to fail. Meaning Jesus will not falter in bringing justice, in doing the things that He's called to do. And He will not be discouraged. To be discouraged means to crack in pieces. Imagine a vase or something mga breakable na ni-crack to the point di na magamit ninyo. You can't use it anymore. That's what to be discouraged means. But the Bible says, He will not falter or be discouraged. This promised humble servant will be able to fulfill what He was called to do. And it says here, in His teaching, the islands will put their hope. This brings full circle to what I was talking about this installment in the first place, that this right here, church, is a message of hope. That for all of us here who feel like we're like a bruised reed, bruised, broken, sad, depressed, wounded, or smoldering wick, you feel like you can't go on now. You don't know what's ahead of you. You can't believe for something in your future. You can't pray for great things to happen to you because you feel like nothing's gonna happen. This right here is a good message for us, a message of hope. Because of this promised humble servant, God's servant is persevering and reliable. Persevering meaning He will not falter, He will not be discouraged, He will make sure that He will be able to accomplish what He was called to do, and reliable. That we can put our hope on Him. That for all of us who are in need and desperate of hope, look no further than this promised humble servant, Jesus. Christ is the servant that exemplifies divine humility and gentleness. That yes, He is this mighty King, but He's not an inaccessible, aloof, impersonal or distant King, but He's a personal being as well to us, a personal King to us. Why? Because He's a humble servant. When you think about kings, parang dili ka maka-access nila, dili ka maka-talk nila, I can't just be with the King. When you think about a servant, it's someone who has the best intentions for you. He wants to serve you. He wants to give you what's best for you. And that's Jesus. He's a King and a servant. How amazing is that? And that goes to tell us, church, that's why Jesus deserves all our praise, all the worship, the adoration, that it's only right that we endure for His sake because He deserves it. It's only right that we do things for Him. We follow, we subscribe to His Lordship because He is a King that deserves our loyalty. He's a King that deserves us following Him because He is a King that wants to serve us as well. And He has served us before we ever served Him. And it was a service that we can never repay or outdo. And He's the kind of King that we can put our hope on, that we can still have blessings in his life. We can still continue to move forward. Christ is the servant that exemplifies divine humility and gentleness. And because of that, he deserves all the glory, the praise, adoration. That's why we should follow him.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.